B-Pod Studios.
Our good friend Sean O'Hara is going to be breaking it all down for us. What's up, Sean? Good morning.
Hey, top of the morning to you guys.
Top of the morning to you, sir. Great to have you on. What did you make of the first game of the season? Was there any sloppiness because of no preseason? Anything that surprised you about the opener last night?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I was excited like everybody else. I was also reserved in how clean of a game it was going to be, both offensively and defensively. But, man, I tell you, I thought they both teams did a great job. You know, usually the first couple games, penalties are an issue. We're talking about the Zebras more than the players. That wasn't the case, so it was great. I'll say this. There were a couple of drop balls. I think DeMarcus Robinson cost himself some major fantasy points last night, and they're – you know, not that people probably had him starting over Tyreek Hill or Sammy Watkins, but, you know, even Will Fuller had an early drop on a back shoulder throw. Those things, you know, can get ironed out quickly, but there was definitely a couple of tackles that had some issues in pass protection. And I think that was kind of my biggest concern was, you know, man, you know, that live rush, it's new to everybody, for this season. But overall, I thought it was a great game. You know, the Chiefs, you know, obviously they got right back to where they left off last year, and they might even be better with Clyde at running back.
Mm-hmm. It certainly looked like we all felt like we reached some kind of milestone, is the word I've been using throughout this, that we got to, as sports fans, to get to this moment, this date that we have been looking for, to watch a game in the NFL, and then here in Philadelphia, looking forward to September 13th when the Eagles face the Washington football team. Now, since we have talked last, Sean, we had talked about Jason Peters moving to right guard. Now he's back at left tackle. Now, we talk about rust overall in the NFL. Do you expect any rust from Jason Peters being moved back to his natural position?
Well, I don't expect any rust. I mean, he's, you know, he kick slides to the refrigerator, you know, and I think he's been doing it for so long, he's going to get right back into the saddle. You know, I think the big question now, if you're Philly, is, all right, you know, what happens if he gets dinged? And, you know, they had that luxury of sliding him over, or, you know, a couple of years ago when they won the Super Bowl, they did it with Vitae sliding in the left tackle. So that's, you know, a big part of it now. Their depth is already questioned because Brandon Brooks is already out too. So, I think Jason will be fine. You know, obviously he'll need a couple practices just to get back, get the hips greased up a little bit and getting low down, out there at tackle, but, I think he'll be fine.
Now, overall mindset of a rookie here, because they're looking at this guy, Jack Driscoll, and I don't know if you've looked at him at all on tape or anything like that. It was a fourth round pick by the Eagles out of Auburn. And he comes into this as a guy that they're looking at as the next Halepulavati Vitae, which a guy who can play right tackle, a guy who can play left tackle like Vitae did in the Super Bowl. What is it like for a rookie if he does get called on to step up to play in meaningful snaps throughout a season?
Well, I tell you, I played with a couple of rookie offensive linemen, and each one is different. You know, Chris Snee was a second-round pick in 2004 when I came to the Giants, and he started at right guard week one. Of course, you know, they put him in the first day of training camp with the ones, and I tell you what, you could tell he was ready for it. And there's guys that you know as a rookie, when you see him, you're like, you know what? Yep, they're ready. I mean, they're going to get beat here and there, and they're going to have a couple of rookie moments, but physically, you know when they're ready to play. And the mental side is always, you know, kind of something that they just have to build on as the year goes along. But most rookies, you know, if you start week one, you're a totally different player by the time week eight rolls around. So, certainly, you know, the big challenge is, who am I playing next to when it's O-lineman? If you're getting in there next to Kelsey and you're in between Kelsey and Lane Johnson, I think you're in pretty good hands.
Sean, if the offensive line struggles and Lane Johnson is battling injury and all the other stuff that we just talked about, if they are struggling, how does a coach, and particularly with this Eagles talent, how do they combat an offensive line struggling? Like, what are plays that we can look for that maybe let us know that the line is struggling a little bit?
Yeah, so, I mean, if you have an offensive line that's trying to get some chemistry and some continuity, you know, I think, you know, obviously you want to run some simple zone plays. You know, there's, you know, kind of let your offensive line kind of fire out a little bit. You know, the Eagles have had a very good explosive run game every year that they've been successful with wins and losses. So it's going to be multiple fronts, a lot of different looks. But sometimes you want to just say, look, let's get really good at these three running plays before we start opening up the playbook. So certainly the zone running plays are big. I think, you know, if you've got an offensive line that's still trying to get its bearings, you know, you want a lot of three-step drops. If you've got guys that are struggling with pass protection, you know, you want to start out the game with some screens and give the defensive end something to look at. You know, the one play that the Eagles have run very successfully over the last couple of years is the wham play. And you'll see the tight end coming in motion, and he'll either, you know, wham block. They won't block the nose guard, or they won't block the defensive tackle. They just let him rush upfield, and he thinks, hey, I got a free play, and he's getting ear holed. So there's ways you can slow down a penetrating defensive line by some of the schemes.
Speaking with Sean O'Hara, NFL Network analyst, also decade-plus offensive lineman in the NFL, guard and center as well. What do you look at this Eagles offense? Because we've been talking a lot about speed. We've been talking about DeSean Jackson, Jalen Reagor, the rookie, who might even play Sunday despite a hurt shoulder. We also look at Miles Sanders, aside from those tight ends there. But just on the speed version of it here, when you look at this Eagles offense, if you're an opposing team, what scares you?
Well, that's always what scares you. I mean, look at the game last night. You know, I mean, if you're the Houston Texans and the Chiefs, just keep they've got a 4x4 team at wide receiver, and it's like they just rotate guys in there, and they're just running. They're running, you know, 100-yard sprints all night long. So, you know, Doug Peterson has that same mindset. He was with Andy Reid a long time, so they want to space you out, spread you out, and let these guys run in space. So I think that's definitely a big factor. Miles Sanders, you mentioned him, you know, I expect him to have a monster year. And I think, you know, he's certainly physically gifted and talented. Obviously, he's got to stay healthy. But, man, you get him out in space. And, you know, I mean, he and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like we saw last night, have a lot of the same ability. They're low to the ground. They run through arm tackles. They've got great contact balance. So he's definitely a weapon for them. You know, I think Zach Ertz is one of those guys. He's maybe a little bit of a different type of receiver than we, like Kelce, who we saw last night. But Ertz has just been unguardable. And even when he is covered by one or two guys, he and Carson Wentz have such a great relationship, and they've got such great rhythm that he always can seem to find a tight window to fit that ball into.
If I would have told, now, to stay on Ertz for a second here, he is having a little bit of a contract dispute right now with the Eagles. And he put it out there yesterday during a press conference saying he wants to play here for the rest of his career, but he's not sure the feeling is mutual. He's got 2 years left on his deal. You just saw Kittle sign a new deal. You just saw Travis Kelce sign an extension. Do you think Zach Ertz will get his wish in playing here the rest of his career?
Well, I think there's a good chance. You know, I mean, this to me sounds like the old squeaky wheel gets the oil line here, because when you look at what the Eagles have done, I mean, they just restructured Jason Peters' contract. They didn't have to do that. They did it out of good faith. You know, they restructured with Lane Johnson to make all that work. I think when you look at the way that they have taken care of their guys, Brandon Brooks, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that the Eagles want to sign Zach, you know, and they want him to be an Eagle for a long time. But, you know, sometimes you have to play the waiting game. And the one thing I always remind the guys when I played with them, I remind guys now, is don't get feelings right now. All right? Don't let your emotions get involved in that. Let your agent handle that stuff. Zach Ertz is a stud. And, you know, the one thing that I always tell players is you have to make a decision at some point. Are you going to go? Do you want to be the highest? What matters to you most? Do you want to be the highest paid player of your position? Or do you want to be an Eagle for life? Do you want to be a Giant for life? Do you want to play with one team? What's most important to you? Because rarely do you get both.
Mm. Sean, when you look at this Eagles team, what is the biggest thing that sticks out to you? You know, like, I'll look at a Cowboys team and I'll say, wow, what a wide receiver group. Or you look at other teams and there's one thing that'll stick out at you. Is there something on the Eagles that does to you?
Well, offensively, you know, we talked about Miles Sanders. I think he's a stud. But I think in tight end combinations, you know, the Eagles have, you know, two of the best in Dallas Goedert and you know, Zach Ertz. So that is absolutely a tough matchup defensively. You know, most teams, when they go two tight end personnel, people bring on, you know, the beef. You know, it's like, all right, bring in the extra linebacker. They're going heavy offense, and then they spread you out. And now you've got two linebackers trying to run with two basically wide receivers with tight end numbers on their chest. So I think that's, you know, offensively, that's a big factor. DeSean Jackson scares every corner, let's be honest. I mean, DeSean's not out there to run, you know, a little button hooks and curls and you know, quick outs. He's there to outrun your fastest guy. And so that, I think, offensively scares you. But look, this defense has been carrying this team now for the last couple of years. And last year they were one of the best run defenses. So, you know, if you're playing the Eagles, you know one thing. Third downs are going to be long, because we're going to struggle on first and second down. So Fletcher Cox has been a big part of that. You know, obviously Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham on the outside. are you know, they're nightmares. You know, if you're a tackle and it's third and nine and you're looking at Brandon Graham moving down over the guard inside and you've got Derek Barnett, you know, that's a handful. So, I think picking up Darius Slay at corner, gives them a true lockdown guy, and that defense got better.
A couple more for you, Sean. Who do you have coming out of the NFC East? It seems to be a two-horse race by most people's opinion. Cowboys, Eagles, who do you like?
Yeah, I don't like anybody.
Yeah, I know you played 7 years for the Giants, but go ahead. Yeah.
You know, I think I'm still scarred from last year. It was like hot potato. Nobody wanted to win the division. You know, I'll say this. I think before the Eagles started losing offensive linemen and started getting banged up, I really liked this Eagles roster. Now, I'll say this. Last year, I thought the Eagles had the best roster up and down. They had the most depth. I didn't think they were going to need as much of it as they did. But this year, when I look at the Dallas Cowboys roster, they've got unbelievable depth. Mm. And I think they're really talented offensively. I mean, here's what's crazy to think about. Jason Garrett got fired. They had the number one offense in the league last year. They had the second best passing offense in the league. And yet Jason Garrett is out. Now he's with the Giants. And when you look at what they added with CeeDee Lamb, I mean, that's scary. And so I think that the Cowboys offense, obviously we're all curious to see what Mike McCarthy does now that he has the workhorse in Zeke. But that offense is going to be dangerous.
Sean O'Hara, again, 7 seasons you played in New York for the Giants. I know, 4 before that with Cleveland. You came to the Giants 3 years after 9/11. And obviously today we're remembering that day. Where were you when you found out everything that was happening?
Yeah, definitely a somber day for all of us here as we reflect. I was in Cleveland playing for the Browns. I was a second-year guy, and I didn't know if I was going to make the team, so you know, I got an apartment like the day after I made the team. I signed a lease, and so I had just moved into my apartment. It was a Tuesday. It was an off day. I didn't even have cable in my apartment. And my buddy Brad Bedell was in the apartment right across the hall, and he's banging on my door at 9 o'clock in the morning, saying, "Hey, man, we're under attack." And I had no idea what he was talking about. So I ran over to his apartment, and that's when I saw them showing the news and the video. And then as we're sitting there, I think the second plane hit, and you know, I'm getting goosebumps as I talk about it because I remember thinking there's no way that just happened. I thought it was like edited. I didn't think it was real. And then you see it and it just, it was bone chilling to see. And then of course, you know, I, being a Jersey guy and going to Rutgers, mm-hmm. I had friends, you know, that worked in the city, and you know, of course, all the phone lines were jammed up, so nobody could get in touch with anybody. But the fallout from that, to see them come down, you know, I think that we all as Americans felt not defeated, but we felt like we had been injured, and I think that was really a big moment for us as a country to know that, you know, we're not invincible. People can still get to us, and to me, that whole week, you know, canceling the games, not having football, seeing the fallout from not just the people in the building, but the people that were rushing to rescue them and to help them, all the lives lost in that capacity, that was a tough week for all of us. But what I also remember is how we came together as a country, and we said, we're not going to let this happen again. We're not going to let this define us. We're going to rally around each other. And I think today, as we reflect on that, we could use some of that unity as well with what's going on right now.
Hear, hear. Sean O'Hara, it really is an absolute pleasure speaking to you, man. I know you're going to be breaking it down throughout the entire football season. We hope to check in with you from time to time. Thanks so much for coming on with us, man.
All right. Thanks, boys. Appreciate it. Enjoy it.
Thanks, Sean.
We will. You as well. Sean O'Hara joining us right there on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.